Have you ever asked yourself, is there anything in life for which you'd be willing to die besides your children? Would you willingly sacrifice your life for any particular conviction or belief? What about your faith? Happy New Year! Forget about the resolutions. Let's just dive into the sticky stuff. I've thought about this question a bit over the years, especially as I've become more deeply invested in justice issues. I've wondered, would I be willing to put my convictions ahead of my personal safety? And what about my religious beliefs? Would you? We have very few Unitarian or Universalist martyrs in our history. The language of martyrdom isn't the kind of religious language we use often as Unitarians to describe our religious convictions. Sometimes I think we're just too darn rational for our own good. I don't think personal sacrifice, the kind that might accompany martyrdom, is a conscious choice. We don't tie ourselves to the stake. It is a heeding of the call to one's deepest principles, a steadfast commitment to those ideals and questions of life that gnaw at us. The thirst for truth and meaning, which has become central to our contemporary Unitarian Universalist faith. Today, we'd all likely be tried and probably burned for heresy, for resisting the status quo of belief and practice, for being political dissidents. And yet, in this pursuit of truth, we have an historical legacy flowing through our ancestral Unitarian blood. As our plate partner this month is our Transylvanian Partner Church Educational Scholarship Fund, I wanted to highlight this legacy that we have in Transylvania, the sacrificial legacy left by 16th century Transylvanian minister Francis David. For many of us who have only experienced Unitarian Universalism within these walls, it's a delightful surprise to learn that the seeds of Unitarianism were flourishing in Eastern Europe long before they were ever planted here in the U.S. As we heard in our story for all ages, David is attributed with convincing King John Sigismund of Transylvania to declare religious tolerance for more than one tradition, which he did in the Edict of Torda in 1568. Now, that was unheard of at the time when there were state-sanctioned religions in other countries. But David's own history is an interesting one, one that might loosely resemble the path to Unitarian Universalism some of us have taken from one or more different religious traditions. Francis David began as a Roman Catholic because that was pretty much the default back then. But he resisted its strict teachings and practices and found himself aligning with the reformist ideals that were flourishing at the time, first becoming a Lutheran and then a Calvinist. The story goes that David was a fierce debater and would participate in these public religious debates that were quite the spectacle of their time. You can imagine that today he'd come with action figures and cards that you could collect. At one such event, as a Lutheran, he won the debate against a preacher from the Reformed Church, the Calvinist tradition. But he found those preachers' ideas worthy of his own exploration, and he thereafter became a Calvinist. It was in this same manner that he encountered Unitarianism, converted, won a debate in front of the king, who then converted to Unitarianism himself and declared religious tolerance. Today, David might be dismissed for being a flip-flopper, for changing his mind too often, or giving up on his faith. Interestingly, in his study of Unitarianism, David read another Unitarian heretic, the Spaniard Michael Servetus, and his work called The Errors of the Trinity. Servetus was burned at the stake by Calvin's Geneva Council for heresy contained in those pages. And Servetus had stopped trying to hide from persecution after a while. He put himself squarely in the path of Calvin, despite the threat to his life, out of genuine interest in having the debate. He wanted to work through it, to explore and to innovate with fellow scholars. And that conviction caused him to eschew his personal safety, and he was forever silenced. But people like Francis David, Michael Servetus, and a few others in our history, really, they were innovators, searching for the best expression of their faith that they could find. They were willing to be wrong and voice their doubt and ask questions and seek out new truths and new ways of understanding their world. And they were willing to do it publicly, to be vocal about their quest, to raise the questions out loud for public conversation and proclaim that no one religion or belief system had all of the answers. After King John Sigismund died, sadly, he did not live very long. The new king, although he upheld Unitarianism as one of the approved religions, issued a decree that if anyone introduced any innovation in religion, he should be investigated and tried. Innovation was a touchy subject in religion, especially during the Reformation, since it often led to religious and civil unrest. So the leaders felt that the best way to prevent such disturbances in their kingdoms was to require each of the affirmed religions to maintain the status quo unchanged and discourage any further development of the Reformation. Well, imagine the challenge this posed for Francis David. He could not suppress his commitment to religious truth. Eventually, the heresy of innovation that put him on trial and then in prison was his belief that we could pray directly to God without having to invoke Jesus. The heresy of innovation. David died in the dungeon of Deva, where it was reported that these last words were inscribed on the wall: "Neither the sword of popes, nor the cross, nor the image of death, nothing will halt the march of truth. I wrote what I felt, and that is what I preached with trusting spirit. I am convinced that after my destruction, the teachings of false prophets will collapse." I suspect Francis David did not predict this ending for his life. Who would? The beauty of heeding our deepest convictions is that they can provide us some measure of willful protection. Some would call it arrogance or denial, but it is that feeling that the light of truth and conscience will prevail, must prevail, over politics and power and privilege. This has been the position of prophets and martyrs throughout the ages, speaking truth to power. So what can this 16th century heretic teach us in 2016? As we face a new year, to tend the fire of our convictions in the face of fear, hostility, and even violence, to pursue our truth with curiosity and innovation. One of the core commitments of our Unitarian Universalist tradition is that revelation is never sealed. There is not one final answer to life's questions. Thus, like our forebears, we are free to search, free to doubt, free to change our minds. I asked in the beginning of this homily, would you be willing to put your life on the line for your deepest convictions? For me, the answer is yes. It is not an answer I come by easily, and nor is it the answer for everyone. And yet the question provokes deep self-examination. While I am certainly not suggesting contemporary martyrdom, as we move towards our fire communion ritual, a sacred ritual of individual reflection and communal sharing, this third communion ritual we've shared together this year, ask yourselves this. What lights the fire of your commitment such that you cannot let it go? And what stands in your way? The sacred fires that we will light for our fire communion, lit from our chalice symbolizing our free faith, invite a ritual that allows you to reignite the courage of inner conviction, tested in the bounds of a loving community such as the one found here. I invite the ushers to come forward with our baskets and pass out the flash paper. When you receive your paper, you're invited to write one of two things on your slip of paper. There are pens in those seat pockets in front of you. You can write the commitments which you want to reignite this year, or the obstacles that stand in your way to connecting with those inner convictions, or both. And when you're ready, we'll invite you to come up to the come through the center aisle and exit out the side aisles. Ignite your paper in the flame, in this flame that will be lit by our chalice of our free faith. The flash paper burns quickly, so once you've caught it in the flame, just let it go. And watch for a moment as that fire ignites your conviction, releases your obstacles. May you burn with a passion for the truth. May you burn with the inspired faith that we can speak truth to power and speak the truth in love. For the day may come when you are the one in a position of power. May the fire of our collective commitment be reignited once again. Amen. May it be so. Let us sing together of this fire of commitment, hymn 1028 in your teal hymnal. We all have the fire of commitment, the fire of conviction, the fire of truth burning within. May it be reignited here today, setting our souls ablaze that we may carry the light the world so desperately needs. And when it starts to dim, and we start to doubt and falter, may we know that here we can return to rekindle it once again. As we extinguish the flame of our chalice, the flame of truth, love, justice, we carry the fire of commitment with us always. Go in peace.